Bible Girl podcast. I'm Jessica Robinson, and I've gathered my Bible, my journal, some study tools, and highlighters in every color for study time. From the practical to the inspirational, I pray that these podcasts give you the tools and motivation to be a Bible girl too. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whatever time of day it is while you're listening to this. I'd like to welcome you to today's episode. It's nice to be back podcasting again. I've had a bit of a hiatus as I've been taking care of some things at my job, as well as taking care of my mom, whose health has been very poor throughout the last few months. She is doing much better now. She's back to work and slowly improving day by day. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited to be back to a little bit more of a normal routine. It's the start of summer ministry here at the church I work at, and so we have some fun stuff coming up, and a lot of the things I do in the summer don't really feel like work. They're really enjoyable. So I'm looking forward to a good season. And I'm happy to be back podcasting. I have a little bit of a schedule for the next few weeks that I'm going to be doing. I'll be taking a couple weeks off for some time away during VBS week and the week after as I recover from that. But I have a pretty good schedule and some great topics that we're going to be taking a look at through the summer. We started in the last podcast, I started a series on slowing down, a little bit about how we need to be aware of what's going on around us and to respond to that so that we don't rush and hurry through life. And in order to do that, we really have to slow down. And it doesn't mean that we're not busy, but it does mean that we're not rushing. We're not missing moments. And so we're going to continue that by focusing on just a couple areas that I want to encourage you to slow down in. And so this week, we're going to be talking about praying slow, and I have some things to go over about that today. And then next week, we're going to talk about having a whole day of slow, and we're going to be revisiting a topic I've talked about in the past. I have some new things I'd like to say, and God's really been working on my heart about that. So we're going to talk about Sabbath and why we should have a day that's slower paced than the rest of our week, and then how we actually accomplish that. Because I know already some of you are probably panicking, thinking, I can't do that. But we're going to talk about what that means, what that looks like, and a little bit about the value of that in next week's podcast. And the week after that, we're going to talk about walking slowly through trouble. And this is something that God has really been wrestling me to the ground about in recent years. And it is one of those things, it's almost, I feel a little uncomfortable sometimes talking about it, because I realize that you know, humanly, we want to get through difficulty and get back to normal as quick as possible. But there are benefits and great blessings to being slow during those times and allowing God to do his work in us. So we're going to be talking about that on June 19th, and that'll get us up into Vacation Bible School, where we'll take a short break before we start back with another series in July. So today we're talking about praying slow, and I want to, before I get into what that means and some of the benefits of that, I want to just mention a few reasons why I think praying slow is really important, because there are some things that we get wrong about prayer. And I have a few of them. There's probably way more than this, but a few things that have been really clear to me lately is that we have the wrong expectation of prayer. We tend to view prayer as something that we do to wrestle God to the ground and convince him of the need to do certain things in our lives. One of the things I appreciate the focus on prayer lately in a lot of Christian media in regards to the War Room movie and several great books that have been released about prayer. But I think sometimes we take that a little too far. There is a part of prayer that is definitely a battle. But I think that in viewing prayer just as a battle, we kind of get this idea that we are single-handedly responsible for turning aside the forces of darkness by praying to God and forcing His hand. And I think that's a wrong take. We also expect that if we continue to pray and ask for something, that God will eventually give it to us because He's sick and tired of us. And that comes often from a parable that Jesus gave that I think is sometimes misinterpreted as well. But I think that we have these expectations that prayer is much like a vending machine. Like you go and you put your quarter in and out comes your snack cake. But I think there is a greater meaning behind prayer. Prayer is not to get things out of God. Prayer is to connect with the heart of God and to have His desires and His will become ours. And that's really the goal of prayer. The goal of prayer is to know God and to be in such great connection with Him that what He wants for your life and the lives of those you care about is what you want. That's paramount to you. And instead of I don't want to take you down a rabbit trail. I don't want you to start thinking that you can't ask for things. Certainly we can ask for things. But the problem is, and this is where we get into the second thing that I see wrong with prayer, is that we do too much of the talking. We take our requests to God and we tell Him everything about them and why we want them. And many people, I've heard people do this in prayer, and I've certainly done it myself. We act like a lawyer. We're making a convincing argument, and these are the reasons why. And we bring this rational kind of a thesis to God on all of these reasons, and we are trying to convince Him. And then we say amen, and we get up and we walk away, and God has done none of the talking. God hasn't had an opportunity to really push our hearts in one direction or another, or to maybe remind us of some things that we're not keeping in our mind as we make our requests. And so I think that in addition to having the wrong expectation of prayer, we never get to the right expectation because we're talking all the time and we're not giving God a chance to speak. I also think that we intercede for others far more than we share about ourselves. A prayer is an opportunity for you and God to deal with the heart issues within you and have your heart become more like Christ. Then you need to share what's in it. You need to be willing to talk to God about the things that you're angry about, the things that you're afraid of, the things that you're worried about, the things that you're wrestling with, things that you can't seem to let go of. We need to talk about those things. And so many people are very good at sharing prayer requests about, you know, so-and-so is having a test done at the doctor's office, or praying for all of your friends and their relationships and their lives and their children and their health and their jobs. And we pray about all those things. But when we pray to God, we might ask Him for some things for ourselves, but we don't really share our true heart with Him. The deep longings that we have and the things that are inside of us that are compelling us to ask for those things. We just give a surface request and we don't dig deep enough to really open our hearts and let God in. And then lastly is we demand far more than we rest. We demand that God act instead of finding a way through prayer to rest in what God is already doing. We forget that God is at work. God is at work in your life at all times. When you become a child of God, His Spirit lives within you, and that Spirit is working within you. And the Bible says in Philippians chapter 1 that God will complete that work that He started in you. And whether you're aware of it or not, or whether you are deliberately, intentionally participating in it or not, God is at work in your life, in your circumstances, and in your soul. And He is constantly trying to direct you and guide you and call to you and lead you. But because we're so busy demanding our own agenda and where we want to go next, we're not resting in what God is already doing. We're not we're not experiencing that peace that comes from knowing that in the midst of all of these things, that God is at work within us. And so when we put up too much focus on ourselves and our own words and our expectations are demanding, or maybe we are asking far more than we're telling, what happens is that prayer becomes a very difficult and in many ways almost robotic kind of a thing that we do, because it ceases to be a real conversation. It's not two people sitting down over coffee having a real heart-to-heart talk, but it's someone writing out a to-do list and leaving it on the kitchen counter. That's kind of the difference between the kind of prayer that so many of us do and slow prayer, that opportunity to really get to the heart of the issues in your life and really share those with God and allow Him to share His heart with you. And so there are benefits of slowing down the prayer and the way we pray. And I want to say before I jump into that, I want to caution you, I'm not telling you not to intercede for others in prayer. And I'm certainly not telling you that you can't ask God for things, because the Bible tells us that the reason we don't have things is because we don't ask God for them. And so I do think that we need to. And I'm not telling you that you have to give up those things. I'm just saying it's not enough. And every once in a while, occasionally, sometimes, and I know those are kind of broad statements, but you don't have to do this every day. This is something that might be good to do maybe once a week, or maybe just, you know, every 10 days, just some schedule that seems to work with you is to have a time of prayer when you can pray slow, because there are some great benefits to doing this. First of all, is we're giving God time to speak. When we slow down and quiet down a little bit, we open up the floor for someone else. And so when we pray slow, we give God a chance to be a part of the process in a way that is more tangible to us. He can speak to us instead of just listening to us. And then secondly is when we practice slow prayer, we're reminded of God's power at work within us. When we tell Him the deep longings of our heart, we come to the understanding that only He can fulfill them. Only the deepest things in your heart that you hold inside are the things that God has to work and move to bring about. And so when we pray slow and we bring God into the conversation and we let Him speak to us, we are reminded that He is at work and that He will do these things that He began in us. And as we do that, another benefit is that we grow closer to God because we're sharing more of ourselves with Him. We know from the story of Adam and Eve in the early part of the Bible, in the beginning of Genesis, when they sinned and they stopped walking with God, that God looked for them. He wanted that time with them. He didn't just show up and they weren't there and he went back to heaven and thought, oh, well. He looked for them. Where are you at? Why are you hiding from me? I want to spend time with you. God wants us to grow closer to Him, and how we do that is the same way we grow closer with other people. We start letting them into more of us as a person, who we are, what we like, what we don't like, what we're upset about, what we're angry about, what we love, what brings us joy. And as we share more of that with God, then we grow closer to Him because He is getting into more of us. And this is one of those things that kind of you think maybe, you know, well, I've told God everything, but the deeper you go, the more there is to reveal. Another benefit is that we gain an ability to be honest before God. It is sometimes difficult to honestly say, God, I feel like you've let me down. Or God, I feel like you've saddled me with this unrealistic expectation. This thing you put in my life is more than I can bear. I don't feel like I'm the person that can handle this. Why would you give this to me? And sometimes it's very difficult. We might think those things, and we certainly might say them to a girlfriend. But to be able to go to God in prayer and to open those up to Him gives us this freedom to be our full selves, our true selves before God. And the more we do it, the easier it is to be honest with God and to be able to tell Him who you are right now and what you want out of life and what your longings are and how He can fulfill those in your life. Another benefit of praying slow is that we receive the ability to rest in God through the messes of life. You know, I, in my own life recently, have had a couple of things that have been very messy. I think of just in this month since my sabbatical in October, there have been probably three or four large things that have really pushed me to my limits, I feel. And some of the things that I learned in sabbatical, this idea of just being in God's presence and sharing my whole self with Him, that helped me because I was able to rest in Him because I knew He was listening and I knew that He was active even when nothing else on the outside was changing. And so in the messes of my life, I was able to rest in God and have a confidence in Him that He was working in me and the situation in the best way that only He knew. And that's what comes of praying slow and listening to the heart of God. It gives you a confidence that you can walk through these difficult situations and you can not falter and not fall and not fall into a crying wreck, although that sometimes happens. But we can approach them with a confidence that says, God is working. And I know this because I talk to Him about it and I know that He's still moving. So how do we pray slow? I'm going to give you a simple little four-part formula for starting slow. I don't necessarily like the word formula, but it's maybe an outline might be a better word. This is a little bit of an outline to help you. Now, certainly anybody, you know, you can pray slow yourself and just sit down and be quiet before God and tell Him what's on your heart and then be quiet before God and wrap it up. But I want to give you a little bit of structure because I found, especially in my years of teaching people about spiritual disciplines, that structure helps when you're learning. It's very much the same as playing an instrument. You'll learn the notes and you'll learn the scales and you'll practice them over and over and over again. And then you'll get a piece of music and you'll learn that piece of music. And once you know the music, well, then you can embellish as you like. You can add things and take things away and change the timing a little bit and slow things down here and there. And it makes a beautiful piece of music come even more alive. But until you've learned the notes, you have to kind of stick to the music because otherwise it makes it very difficult to learn. And it's the same way with spiritual disciplines. It's often helpful to have a framework to start with as you begin. And then once you have your framework down and you've learned and you've mastered it and it's something that you feel comfortable with, then you can make it more personalized and you can make it more yourself. And so I'm just going to give you this little bit of an outline or structure for those of you that would like to try slow prayer. Now, let me say again, before I give you this, this is not something that I think you need to do daily. This is one of those things that I will do a couple of times a month during my Sabbath day, which we'll talk more about next week. But I don't necessarily feel like this kind of prayer is something that you have to do every day, although you certainly could if it's something, especially in certain times of your life, this might be very helpful for you. But we're talking about taking some time to be intentional. That's the idea behind this slowing down idea we're talking about is being intentional and being deliberate about what we're doing. And so we're deliberately trying to foster some moments where we can hear the Spirit of God and where we can be our true self with Him. And so here's a little bit of a structured outline for you. I would start with a few minutes of silence, or possibly some worship, some times of worship. And I put down either or because I know some people struggle a little bit with silence. I think silence is important. I think being completely quiet and still before God of great benefit to us as believers. But I also know that our culture today makes that very difficult and it makes us very uncomfortable. And so until you begin to expand your ability to do that, sometimes it helps to have just a couple of seconds of quiet and then maybe music, a worship song that'll kind of bring you into the right attitude and to the right posture before God. So I would say to start with either silence, if you can do it, or a few moments of worship. Put on maybe instrumental and sing, and of a song that maybe you know and could sing along yourself, or a worship song that's especially meaningful to you. And then you want to say something to really open up your true self, your deep longings, your heart to God. And I have two different statements that I think are both very helpful. One of them is, God, this is what I want to tell you. And that's kind of how you start. This is what I want to tell you right now about me. And the second one is, God, this is what is true of me right now. And that's generally the statement that I use. This is what's true in my life. And I tell God the things that are going really well, and I tell him the things that I'm happy about, the places I'm finding joy, the experiences and opportunities that have brought life to me and that are very life-giving. And then I tell him the things that are not going well, the things that I think I'm failing at, the things that I'm struggling with, the ways in which I wish I could do better. And I take that ugliness and that darkness inside of me and I expose it to him and I show it to him. And some of the things are things that I might not really be aware of how much they're bothering me until I begin to talk to God in prayer. So we start out by just being honest and by saying, you know, this is where I'm at right now. This is what's going on. This is what I'm thinking about. This is who I am. This is what my struggles are. And these are what my my successes are. And these are the things that are bringing me life. And these are the things that are really draining the life from me. And once you've told God those things, then you need to spend some quiet moments. And you need to give time, God, to speak. And I like to think of this time as resting in the comfort of God. God is on your side. He is for you. There is no one in the world who wants you to succeed in the Christian life more than God does. There is not a person out there in the world who loves you with the kind of love that God does. There is no one that accepts you the way that God does. There is no one that has chosen you with as much deliberate intention as God has. He is for you. And in those moments, after you've spilled out all your heart, the ugliness and the goodness and the longings and the unmet expectations and the frustrations and the laughter and the joy, When you give in all of those to God, we spend some time just resting in the comfort of God. And we give him a chance to speak. And sometimes for me, this is when I'm really struck with an idea that maybe things aren't as bad as I thought in this one area. Sometimes God will remind me, will draw my attention to things that when viewed during this time through his eyes and through the encouragement of his spirit, I see them a little differently. And I realize, you know, maybe there's hope there. Maybe God's working in this. And other times when there are things that I'm really excited about or something that I feel like I did well and I'm experiencing that joy, I will feel the pleasure of God and the excitement that he feels because I found something that fulfilled me and that helped me do my calling and my purpose in life, helped me meet that well. And so in those moments, and as we are resting in this comfort that comes from God, we acknowledge the fact that God is present with us and that he is listening to us and that he has things to say and that there are things about our lives that he wants to show us. Now, the amount of time that you spend there will depend on your comfort level with quiet, with silence and quiet. If you put on some instrumental music, that might help you a little bit if you put that on at the beginning of your time for those who struggle with silence. But I would say to try to be still and silent for as long as you can. Some people, you know, are really good at this and can do, you know, 10, 15 minutes. Others are going to be much shorter than that, but I believe that it's a skill that you can master. I believe that the more that you do it, the more you will gain the ability to do it longer. When God has had his chance to speak and you have been resting in the comfort that he gives to you, then I would say it's time to speak some words of praise or thankfulness. Tell God the ways in which he has brought joy to your life and the ways in which you see his hand at work and the blessings that he's given to you. Share those things with him and spend a few moments in worship as you end the time in prayer. I want to go back a second and just say too, sometimes resting in the comfort of God is uncomfortable because God might convict us a little bit. He might tell us that we can do better in an area we're struggling, or maybe he convicts us that we're complaining about something that he's allowed into our lives, that something that he wants to be useful, or maybe we're bitter or angry over something and we've been complaining to God about someone or a situation, and God has convicted us that that is not an attitude that he wants us to have. There's still comfort in that, because the Holy Spirit's conviction comes with the idea that God will help us do anything he's asked us to do, and that God still loves us in spite of our flaws and our sins and our weaknesses. He loves us unconditionally, and those are part of who we are. And the kinds of people that we're becoming are people who are hopefully growing and maturing. But people who are growing and maturing are making mistakes because they're growing, and that's part of the growth process. And so even those moments can be comforting as well, even though at times they may not feel like it. That structure, silence, talking to God, listening to God, and being able to praise God is just a very basic structure that will help you to pray slow. You'll notice that we didn't mention anyone else here. We're not interceding for others, and we're also not spending a lot of time necessarily asking God for things. This is a conversation. This is telling God where we're at and what's going on with us. I want to recommend two resources for you, actually just one resource, and then I want to read to you something here as we close. The book Sacred Rhythms by Ruth Haley Barton is an excellent book that has been something that has influenced me quite greatly in the last year or so. I have read the book several times. I've taught the book, used the small group curriculum with some Bible studies and retreats, and it is something that I feel has been really informing me and forming me in my understanding of the ability to connect with God on a level that's above just knowledge of him. And I would recommend that book as a good one if this process of slowing down, being deliberate in the way we pray, in the way we read scripture, and how we connect with God is interesting and appealing to you. I would suggest that you read her book, Sacred Rhythms. Now, the reason I bring the book up is because I'm going to be reading a poem that she reads in one of the small group sessions. This is not in the book that you buy. It is something that is read aloud during one of the video sessions for the small group curriculum. But I think this poem kind of gets to the heart of what I mean when I talk about being able to tell God the deep parts of us, the longings that we have, and the things inside of us that we want to share with him, that we never seem to get to because we're kind of checking things off our list and moving throughout our day. So I want to read this in a way of closing. And I just encourage you, the poem is from a book called Gorillas of Grace by Ted Loader. And if you would like to look that up, you may enjoy some of his other works as well. This poem is called There Is Something. Holy One, there is something I wanted to tell you, but there have been errands to run, bills to pay, arrangements to make, meetings to attend, friends to entertain, washing to do. And I forget what it is I wanted to say to you. And mostly I forget what I'm about or why. Oh God, don't forget me, please, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Eternal One, there is something I wanted to tell you, but my mind races with worrying and watching, with weighing and planning, with rutted slights and pothole grievances, with leaky dreams and leaky plumbing and leaky relationships that I keep trying to plug up. And my attention is preoccupied with loneliness, with doubt, and with things I covet. And I forget what it is I want to say to you, and how to say it honestly, or how to do much of anything. Oh God, don't forget me, please, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Almighty One, there is something I wanted to ask you, but I stumble along the edge of a nameless rage, haunted by 100 floating fears of war, of losing my job, of failing, of getting sick and old, having loved ones die, of dying. And I forget what it is the real question is I wanted to ask. And I forget to listen anyway because you seem unreal and far away. And I forget what it is I have forgotten. Oh God, don't forget me, please, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Oh Father in heaven, perhaps you've already heard what I wanted to tell you. What I wanted to ask in my blundering way is don't give up on me. Don't become too sad about me, but laugh with me and try again with me. And I will with you too. Oh, Father in heaven, perhaps you've already heard what I wanted to tell you. What I wanted to ask is forgive me, heal me, increase my courage, please. Renew in me a little of love and faith and a sense of confidence and a vision of what it might mean to live as though you were real and I mattered and everyone was sister and brother. What I wanted to ask is for peace enough to want and work for more, and for joy enough to share, and for awareness that is keen enough to sense your presence here, now, there, then, always. Amen. May God bless your week. Thanks for listening. Go to BibleGirlPodcast.com to email me, download show notes, sign up for my newsletter, print the monthly scripture writing lists, and listen to past episodes. Join the Bible Girl Facebook group to get the latest podcast news and to interact with me and other listeners. I'm all over social media as Jessie L. Robinson. That's J-E-S-S-I-L Robinson. I'd love for you to friend or follow me. Join me again for another episode of Bible Girl.